was a dark, stormy night as the train rattled on. All the passengers had gone to bed, except a young man with a baby in his arms sat there with a bowed down head. The innocent one began crying just then, as though its poor heart would break. One angry man said, "Make that child stop its noise, for it's keeping all of us awake."
My name is, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM, which is true.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the McPees of East Hampton, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting live from a random location in Catskill, New York, because we are live, mobile, and ready to go because our audio tech, Brian, has an awesome nippy setup that has made life leisurely for all the rest of us. How you doing, Brian?
I'm pretty good.
And that's the last you're going to hear of him because he's concentrating. Ben, how you doing?
Pretty good, man.
Right, Cody, what's up?
Bueno. I just delivered some 3D prints to Vinny.
Nice. Corey.
Yo.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much.
And we have Tom with us tonight. How are you, Tom?
I found you.
Miraculously.
Tom had to wander around until he found the random location of the Thingularity Radio Program.
He rolled a D20.
He critted and he found his way here.
Yep.
No problem.
Congrats if you're nerd enough to know what that is.
And congrats if you're not.
No points awarded for not being a nerd. No.
If you don't know what a D20 is...
By this point, you've at least picked it up somewhere in pop culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, see yourself out. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you should know if you're, like, at all interested in... You know, if you watch Netflix at all. Surely they've promoted their... very D&D inspired show to you.
Vox Machina?
Oh, there's a show?
No, that's Amazon Prime.
Oh, what's the other one?
I mean, I don't want to advertise it, but...
advertise it?
Stranger Things.
Can you do that?
Whoa.
Stranger Things has a D&D thing? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, the episode, first episode, kind of second scene is them playing D&D.
Okay,
but what does that mean? How is that, like...
He says mainstreaming, a lot of people do it. I know some people around here who aren't nerds who are on D&D. They'll drive as far as Woodstock to play their game.
Really?
Yes.
Also, Simpsons made plenty of references to it. I mean, that's what a ton of cartoons have, so...
Yeah, like, the geysers of Gygax. Like, Futurama and Simpsons have referenced D&D and its creator a lot. So
the Gygax...
Well, Gygax appeared on Futurama.
That reference totally
Gygax, the
went over my head.
D&D.
Sorry, Cody, what?
The reference in Futurama went over my head. I didn't know anything about Dungeons & Dragons at the time.
Mm. You see, I somehow, like, I just got the reference. I never played at that point.
Really? Yeah, me neither. I mean, I'd only played, you know, a little bit of, you know, World of Darkness and the Shadowrun video games, but that's it. Yeah.
Oh, well, I've played Diablo. Does that count?
That does not count.
That's fun. That's like lottery.
Speaking of role-playing games, did you guys see the people in Warsaw who go to a trailer park once a month to pretend to be Americans? pretend to be Ohioans on the 4th of July is their LARPing thing.
They LARP as different things, though, right? They LARP as different things at different times, right? During a certain period of time, they do Ohio.
Did they do anything other than that?
I don't know. I didn't really look into it, but...
Well, they were trying to do a Stranger Things theme, but they couldn't find a place that matched it. When they found a trailer park, they're like, well, this doesn't match Stranger Things, so they came up with...
Oh, America!
It's just Ohio.
Let's pretend to be people in a trailer park in Ohio on the 4th of July.
Okay, we can't be the Pacific Northwest, so yeah, we'll be the Midwest, you know, trailer trash.
But it's kind of genius. I mean, like, they get into it. Like, the rules, I read the
pictures
the document.
Look legit. They look like they were taken here.
They totally look like exactly what you'd expect.
They look like white trash. What do you want me to call them?
I don't know. Yeah, kinda. I don't know.
You don't
like
have to say it.
It was pictures from a scene that I'm very familiar with.
We're white
with.
Guys, and I'm from Texas, so I definitely got privileges in calling.
There you go.
I have lived in several trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm white, so, so I will say white trash as much as I wish.
But imagine,
our word.
Like, they took the role-playing seriously. I wonder if, like, they really got a... like an idea of what it is to be an American right now, because their theme was something like, you know, some post-empire sort of
like post struggle, Rust Belt collapse.
Like they're living this collapse thing and like getting into the mindset of it and having to play actual humans and, you know, really, they had rules on violence, like don't just go around and shoot it up. If you're going to do that, you have to escalate the violence. If you're getting,
I'm guessing they probably have
obnoxious
some,
at someone.
They probably have some basis to relate. Having lived in Eastern Europe.
Well, they can relate. Their abortion laws are the same as Texas.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah, certain parts of them, yeah.
Well, now all of it.
Oh, my God. But, yeah.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. They were good.
Poles playing Americans.
That just proves how awesome we are.
What, the Japanese were doing it two decades ago? The Japanese were, like... They had big sections of their culture that were all, like, American-based, like hot rods and wife beaters, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Attempting to emulate their conquerors. I mean, us.
Do they still, they don't, you know, that's not really a dominant, like, subculture there anymore. I don't
know.
No,
America sucks.
You say that, Joe, but, I don't know. Their culture seems to have very deeply affected our own. At least the young people.
Okay.
Yeah.
People who watch anime.
No. That's not their culture. That is the culture we allowed them to have.
We allowed
That was then sold back to us.
The culture we kind of bombed them into.
When we bombed it away.
What are you talking about? We allowed them to have. That they took on those things.
I'm sorry, who's practicing Bushido? Do you know of any kamikaze pilots today?
No. Now, the American version of suicide is quite different than
actually,
that.
Actually, I do.
Somebody goes
they're
downtown
in Afghanistan.
And shoots
it. Oh, man. Yes, we've learned. People have learned from them, yes, but they've moved on. And like I said, that's what happens when you get Americanized. You stop killing yourself in glorious, you know, combat and start doing it with greasy burgers and drugs.
And automatic weapons.
You know, well, they don't have that.
Well, yeah, that they give them that.
Yeah,
yeah, they don't have much guns there. No, it wasn't Bushido.
But they're starting to want a military again, and they mean it.
Yeah, well,
they're worried about China.
Yeah, the South China Sea.
And now Russia.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And now Japan's trying to learn how to deal with their gas deficit at the moment, and that's not easy for a severely resource-limited country.
Yeah, that's been in a recession for... How long is their lost decade? 30 years now?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, a couple decades. Yeah.
Look at 2.5-decade lost decade. What the hell?
All right, so something nerdy besides just depressing. Like,
weren't we talking last time about Japan and how they had a hydrogen infrastructure so that instead of burning fossil fuels, they could make water as they drove around?
No. That's
Norway, isn't it? Is it like
Norway? No. The only car that's running like that is not in California. The Toyota Mirai has been running around there for a decade.
Wait, are we talking hydrogen. Fuel cell?
Yeah, we're talking hydrogen fuel in Japan.
They probably have stuff there.
20% now of Japan is running around on hydrogen.
And is it the Toyota technology?
I'm aware of this, so I'm bringing it to the table.
Okay.
Where are they generating the power from?
So, like, I know on the West Coast what they're doing is they're actually got into consortium with Shell and other companies so that you're turning oil into hydrogen.
Oh, for the... But are you kidding me?
That's just the first step of it. The second step, phase two, was supposed to be interest U.S. government or others to change policy and create a hydrogen infrastructure so that this would work well, but we never made it to phase two in the last 10, 15 years yet.
That's still kind of dumb, especially considering electric cars are taking over.
Well, Tom, you
seem to know more.
They are taking over.
Tell us about how Japan generates their hydrogen.
It is a hydrocarbon byproduct, so you can get hydrogen that way, and that kept the fossil fuel companies from stepping all over it like they're going to do as soon as they realize they're no longer needed and they can't cause more of the crisis that they started in the industrial age with coal and coke. Remember coke? Mm-hmm. No, super coal, better than coal.
Oh, that kind.
That kind. Not one of the other two dangerous kinds.
So what they're
doing is they're keeping the oil company in the loop so that the oil companies don't bomb the entire system to hell and make it not work.
Yeah,
or that they can use the same technologies for infrastructure because it can be delivered in a tank. Although putting it in a pipe is what I would do. I would deliver hydrogen in a pipe, and then outside of that pipe, I would have another pipe that had nitrogen in it. So if anything went wrong with the hydrogen, it would diffuse.
The nitrogen would keep it from igniting
on the ground anyway.
There's a lot of ways to keep.
Probably centralize that sort of system and then just.
I would still want
run
tanks.
It out with wires. I'd run it with electricity.
I want tanks to act like a overflow capacitor. So if there was overproduction and not enough demand,
it
just fill up.
Personal autonomy, so that if you know the world collapses, he's cut his gas.
So in a small
hydrogen's a crazy thing to contain.
In a
small
size tank, you can still keep it from exploding by. Like hydriding aluminum and doing other ways to keep it explosion proof. So actually, hydrogen.
Oh, the humanity!
Hydrogen can be can travel in vehicles a lot safer than, say, I don't know, lithium.
Yeah. Then we get a, Oh wow! Where was it? There was a crash between two Teslas.
Oh yeah.
And they burst into flames and melted into piles of
instantly.
Goo. Yeah.
Thermite.
Yeah,
thermite like.
Yeah, I don't think
so. 1,200 pounds plus 1,200 pounds.
Yeah.
Batteries.
Yep. Batteries, and they look. That's funny. What I think is funny about cars is when you look at them build the batteries, they have these 18650 cells and the 21 something cells, whatever.
Yeah,
they all look like AA batteries, like you're stuffing into a toy as a kid.
Yep.
But it takes 10,000 of them or whatever. Right.
Oh yeah.
In a special frame so they don't touch each other because. Once two of those touch and the dielectric gets creased, all of them go up like worse than gasoline or hydrogen.
And it just won't go out.
Won't go out. Not unless you have a dump truck full of sand, which you don't have those on.
No, you just got to sit there and kind of watch it. Roast some marshmallows. I mean, you're not doing anything else.
Yeah, just watch the barbecue.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, everybody driving a Tesla, remember that. It's basically the Pinto of the modern century.
It's cool.
Made of nitroglycerin.
Oh my god.
So we're for clean energy. Clean energy solutions.
Totally. Yeah.
But not electric cars.
No. There's nothing wrong with electric cars.
They're fine.
There's something wrong
as
with one.
Many
of the
anti
features that idiot Elon Musk is putting into his car. There's lots of, like, the battery capacity. Battery capacity sucks. Three. when I'm okay now, a recent experiment that I just pulled off myself by adding a solar panel to my electrically driven kayak makes me wonder why there isn't a solar panel on every single Prius.
I mean, power to weight ratio. It wouldn't actually add enough to it.
Mm-hmm. No, nonsense. There's no way that the power generated by a solar panel on a sunny day isn't worth the power. It isn't worth the weight offset. At least for me, it was significant.
For
just in a kayak.
Oh, you're in a kayak. Yeah.
Yes, and those are.
That's so different than.
My kayak is pushing through thick water. Yeah, a Prius is rolling on flat ground.
Friction in that water is so bad that you can boil eggs there and you trail after yourself in the wake, you know, because that friction in that water. No, I mean, seriously, a car has a lot of inertia. Even a teeny weeny Prius has a lot of mass.
And it's like a brick.
Okay.
In the wind.
What you're saying, but you're telling me that being able to generate in situ energy while traveling isn't worth a slight increase in weight? Like.
No. I'm not talking about the weight of the solar panels. I'm talking that the energy available from a solar panel the size of a car roof is insignificant next to the energy that's required to move that much mass.
I want to see a percentage calculation. That sounds good.
Well, yeah.
I think you're right, but
we could do it.
I'd want to see that.
Calculator. Well, was a very, very smooth operator. Had himself a pen elevator. Kept it in a chrome elevator. Yeah.
I'm not sure what universe we slipped into, but I'm comfortable hanging out here.
It's the universe where we illustrate for our listeners that Tom is sitting here making jokes in his clown mask.
You can't be sure it's me because I'm wearing a clown.
That's right. He's got a bozo nose.
You can hear
glued
his
onto
face
his.
Oh no, that was a giveaway. The bozo nose. Oh, I should have taken it off.
He's going to be the stealth clown.
Yeah.
Okay, that one fell flat.
Okay.
Stealth.
Sorry.
Don't. We're not revisiting it. Moving along.
Pass.
What's the next thing in the news that's bothering somebody?
Oh, come on. The list is too long and none of them has to do with tech.
Oh, we can make it stick. I posted a bunch of this crap.
Well,
come on, guys.
What do you call it?
We lost contact with Capstone for a while. That was pretty scary.
What is Capstone?
Aren't they winding down Voyager?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, Voyager's getting, like, I mean, it's a bummer, but when you look back on it, we got a lot of good stuff from those guys. And nuclear batteries only last so long. The next one will be better. And the next, if we really wanted to, we could overtake Voyager 1 and 2 with modern probes. Because they weren't meant to do that. They were doing their little swing around the solar system, and then we shot them out with whatever inertia they had.
Yeah.
If we actually calculated it out and wanted to overtake them, we could make a new probe with way better equipment, which I am 100% in favor of doing. I want to know what's out there in the interstellar gap. Like, all that crazy magnetic data that they were sending back, that's great to know. I mean, it's also good to know that, like, things like the solar shock, which protects our entire little neighborhood, changes. As the sun breathes, so does the bubble that protects us. It goes in and out. And, I mean, that's why we're here. There's a giant complex set of safety measures which guarantee life on this planet have a chance.
Once you leave the bubble of the solar area,
you're toast.
55,000 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. Old Mau Mau is not an alien probe because, well, it could be. It could be. But
wasn't one problem that once you leave the bubble of the Earth's magnetic,
solar system,
magnetic influence, you're also toast.
Yeah.
Yes, this is another reason why Elon Musk is a complete moron.
That I agree with.
When you go to Mars, cosmic rays will turn your brain to Swiss cheese. We would need to take a basin on Mars, fill it with water, and then build a little Atlantis underneath it. Then you might have enough protection from the cosmic rays to keep from going nuts.
If you press a button, you get the shields. Right? The shield?
Yes. When Elon brings this technology from his home planet and shows us, let me know. But, again...
And not a conspiracy theorist? You just called Elon Musk an alien.
Look at the man.
He's
don't believe aliens are here. That's another conspiracy theory, because humans mess with each other so much that they have to explain away their terrible behavior by blaming it on another creature.
Or are they?
They could be.
Didn't you post the article about
UFOs?
Yeah, the UFOs off the coast of, was it the East Coast?
And UFOs are like a fascination of mine.
In the military operating area,
every
right?
single story I've heard is crap, except for from these Air Force pilots.
Yeah, those are interesting.
When,
the new ones coming out, right?
When the Rockstar pilot, like, when schmucks on the ground are like, I saw a light in the sky, I go, well, how much did you drink that night? When 20 Air Force pilots all have similar reports from different departments, I start to take notice.
Yeah.
And... okay, now they're spotting things that really start looking weird, like cubes inside spheres.
What?
Yeah, that's no. That's what the newest UFOs.
It's not just an artifact of the camera.
Seeing it, visually making contact with it,
And describing it as moving in a way that is redacted, so makes you think. Before I said alive.
Alive.
It's also been like described as in a way that can't be sustained by human life. Like it makes turns that will liquefy a human's inside.
Yeah, yeah.
But the modern, like, one fighter pilot from the thing I posted, basically he would see them. At first, they would never see them. They would just be, like, radar blips. And they would look, and they couldn't make a visual confirmation, but it was clearly there on the radar. Then they started being able to see them. Then they evolved to the tic-tac version, and now we got the clear sphere with a cube inside, which was verified by the one pilot, and then he said... one of the groups he trained later afterwards came back and says, yep, they're still out there. And the thing with them is they're operating miles and miles and miles offshore in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Where they're saying any form of aircraft we have would absolutely require support. It would require some sort of submarine.
Fuel.
Or an aircraft to refuel. Or to be deployed from, or to have some sort of CNC in the area. And they're like, we never saw them descend. Even if they were deployed from a submarine, we would never be able to detect or see them going down to the ocean. They just hang out in the air all the time, waiting for us.
So your theories, what are they?
China.
Well,
China has one of the most advanced militaries, and they have tech that's beyond us.
I don't have to tell you how sneaky them people.
I'm not going to confirm that or deny that. That's for you, my friend, to do. I'm just going to say, I'm going to backtrack. Totally sneaky. Yeah, screw them. China is devious. They are gunning for us, and they are investing lots and lots of money in developing tech we don't have yet.
They wish to be the new empire.
I mean, let me tell you this. It's not Russia.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's not Iran sending... Okay, you know what? It could be Iran because they have a whole mountainous drone complex.
They have some
now.
Pretty high-tech stuff
and
in Iran, by the way.
If I wanted to mess with a country on the other side of the planet and I didn't have a lot of money and I didn't want to mess with nukes, believe me, drones are the way to go.
But they also talked about the same military pilots. Like, we didn't see any place where they could land, and like a drone has to have its repowered and whatnot.
Well,
they didn't find
that. We have aircraft that are solar-powered that can remain aloft indefinitely. But they don't. Zip around at some supersonic
at hundreds.
Very, very
yeah.
slow, and they're
slow.
High.
Yeah,
they can't get close to the water, of course. That would be
yeah.
Too
they're
heavy.
They're slow gliders, is what they are.
From what the guy described, the kind of aircraft we have are capable of doing everything these things do, but only individually. We have some that operate at different altitudes. We have some that can go that fast. We have some that can maybe stop that fast, but not with the human inside. But we don't have any aircraft that can do all of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you were an advanced species, I would want a multi-use Swiss Army knife that I could just send to a planet and probe it. And those are some really smart probes if they're just hanging out in international waters that can't really be messed with too much.
Mm.
Civilians aren't going out there.
I was
going
to say, it's like, yeah, or that, or observation drones from a civilization. Civilization watching another civilization undergo an extinction event. Sorry to bring it back down.
It's hard to bring it back down.
The Morlocks sent their drones out of the volcanoes to watch
that
us die.
Observing extinction events.
Well,
of alleged intelligent
Moon,
life.
Remember when Luma came by and took, got pretty close, and then went around the sun and flipped back out and accelerated on the way out, which is inexplicable because gravity should have slowed it down.
Well, that
I'll explain it.
That cigar-like shape, they call it, or, you know, sort of a very flat, thin, long thing, was slowly spinning. And I just designed a telescope that's just exactly like that. It slowly spins, and the angle at which it spins determines what colors it's picking up, and it gets super high res because it's big. You know, UMO is big. So it's spinning slowly. I think it was reconnaissance, because that's how this thing I call it stare, which just stares down by spinning and spinning.
That's exactly what I would do. Like, you send a rock that looks like a rock that nobody's going to be able to tell is not you, and you have it utterly passive. You just record. And, I mean, if there's a civilization in the solar system that's reached radio wave capability, you're going to light up like a Christmas tree. It's going to be real easy to see them.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see them until you're up close, because radio waves disperse too much. I mean, unless they have technology that's way, way, way more sensitive, like they have the television version of a LIGO, gravitational interferometer, so that they can see gravity waves, like the really, 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 really minuscule, like atom width difference in compression that happens to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they develop something like that so that they could watch I Love Lucy. We don't know. That could be cool. But otherwise,
I would say that it's worth developing that technology to watch I Love Lucy.
Yeah, let's ask them if they got any of the missing episodes of Doctor Who. So.
Lucy on a ladder. What's more entertaining than that?
Kardashians.
Lucy pretending she's Harpo.
Was good. Yeah.
Oh, you know, there's going to be like a fleet of aliens that just shows up one day and goes, "Why did you cancel MASH?"
Send more Chuck Berry.
Yeah. Wait, Chuck Berry was on the Voyager, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so that could totally work. Oh, that was a horrible mistake. Putting our address on Voyager, sending it out there. I mean, what if you went on Craigslist and said, "Here's my home address. Do what you want with it." Yeah, not a good idea.
Here's my phone number, my social security.
My mother's maiden.
I don't know. Voyager hasn't gone that far yet, though.
Not Voyager.
It's the radio waves.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I was talking physically about the actual discs on Voyager.
Oh, yeah, the gold discs.
That's a joke.
He's talking about the actual radio waves.
Why are the discs
a joke?
Well, you know, when you're at NASA and you want some kind of public relations, you'll do, you know, a stunt like that. When you know full well that the whole concept is, you know, ridiculous from the point of view of the intersection of this tiny little craft with the size of the space it's going to be moving through, and then, you know, even if the disk was found, it's so archaic. You need a Rosetta Stone, you know, of some kind to get going with it.
It was designed to be universally recognizable. Method.
Well, it was universally recognizable to the people who paid for it. I'm going to go on my own stick and I'm going to get shot down for this. But the latest version of the telescope does allow you to look up into space, and you see a rainbow at geosynchronous orbit. It's a tiny little thing, but it's up there. And the argument I'm making is, well, look, if everyone could look up and see a star that NASA put up there forever, it would make it seem worthwhile to pump money into space research. I mean, that isn't what it's going to be used for, but it'll be there. And so the same thing with that disc, that golden disc. Everyone loves it. I have a copy of what was on it that was sent to me by someone who is on it and is so proud that she's there. So, you know, it's a wonderful PR stunt, but it isn't going to...
Dude, things need funding.
Yeah. I mean, and...
So. You mean to manipulate people and do it. So what you're saying is it's not a bad idea because it was just a goof.
Yeah, it was relatively speaking an inexpensive thing to do in the first place. It was a cultural phenomenon. Everyone can buy it now or hear it and you get it on the internet and participate in our own culture. I mean, what is culture after all? It's a pleasurable thing.
Hmm.
It's something we enjoy.
Unless it's inflicted upon you.
Does that happen?
I don't know. I'm too white to say so.
Well, maybe I'm talking about art. You know, art is a pleasurable thing.
Yes, should be.
It should be a pleasurable thing, but it carries a message.
Have you heard Taylor Swift?
She carries a message.
But it's not a pleasurable thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe not to
you.
Oh, man. I'm just saying, I'm introducing something to it. Never mind. Taylor Swift is an accomplished person, whatever.
Hey, man. Those aliens might hear this radio wave.
Yeah, it's going to be propagating out.
Propagating out to all the corners of the universe, along with the radio waves coming right out at WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears, transmitting from and to Catskill, Hudson, Acre, and all points around and in between.
What clock did you see?
Man Tom, right next to me. She just flashed me and goes,
"Good job!" I didn't even see that happen.
Oh no, I'm not a psychic.
Wow, wow, that's an organic team happening where it's just boop 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 boop. Wow,
well,
good job.
We've been doing this for a couple years. We kind of at this point know what we're doing.
Speaking of, there's a fun drive next week, isn't there?
Oh, there's a fun drive.
Once again, we have escaped the fun drive season, but
not really.
I mean, we haven't escaped it. I mean, we're not. It starts next week, or like July 14th, I think, and
something like that.
We don't have to care, but we should care. And
I do care.
I mean, well, no. This year, what we're supposed to be doing is going out into social media and trying to get people to listen to radio stations. They're not so much concerned that we
pitch on air.
Yeah, we solicit people.
Oh, it's social media, extending the networks and the other tendrils.
So we need to
interesting
send out communications to our friends. So if you're listening to this station, we're going to ask you to ask your friends, check out the website, give us a listen, try to expand the base a little and increase our community. Might help a little bit. I mean, of course,
every
you can head on over to WGXE.org, click on donate, and send cash.
Boom.
The old-fashioned way.
Do it.
But
do it.
I mean,
yeah, that's our pitch.
That's,
do it.
That's
do
not
it.
The
do
official
it.
Ask. The official ask is spread the word, get your friends involved.
Do it. WGXE.org. Click on the donate. Do it.
And turn it up.
Do it.
Brian.
Okay. All right. Shilling over. What's up, guys?
Oh,
we were
God.
Talking about the Voyager disc.
Yep.
That's got a map of all the pulsars that you can line up with the map of the galaxy and find us. That's how you can find us.
Really?
What else is on the pictograph, though? Isn't there some DNA thing? There's like a picture of a human
There's
on it.
Two naked men and a woman.
But how do
I think there is also like a replication of, you know, DNA strand? Yeah.
And there's some kind of like binary pictograph. Is there some? What
yeah,
is
I swear
on
there's
it?
Some math on it too.
There's some math on it.
Yeah.
Is there
math.
Any kind of decoding for the actual disc for to figure
I
out?
Sworn there maybe was.
That's in the math.
That's in the math.
In the basic, like, here's a dot. Here's two dots. And now here's three dots. We're hoping you're not so stupid that you understand that's addition.
Did they at least leave a wind-up record player in there or something? I mean,
that would be smart, right? Because
it's a record.
Well,
wind it up. Let it go.
How many? It does make sense that the ability to that simple, easy way to record audio would be discovered by other beings.
Yeah, if they're smart enough to find
it,
yeah.
I mean, obviously their tech's going to move way beyond that. They'll be storing all their songs at the atomic level.
I don't know.
In the fifth dimension. Who knows?
I don't know. It could be like my kids reading like grandma's like script, and you're like, I don't know.
I wrote
like cursive. What's cursive?
I took the time to actually write out some a recipe in cursive, and I posted it, and people couldn't read it. And that's not like
what?
I went to Catholic school, so they made sure my cursive was good. Mm. My print looks like chicken scratch, but my cursive is legible. So I at least know that. And when people look at it, they're like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "It's a secret language. Don't worry about it."
Oh, you know, it's a secret language is shorthand.
Yeah, that's the.
I can't read that. No way.
Oh well. I mean, my thoughts stay my own. What can I say? Better than punching into a phone.
Oh, projects?
Oh, my God. Projects?
Anyone?
Bueller?
Bueller.
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 Not sure Bueller. What you're referencing, but...
You've never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
It was filmed in that city above Chicago that...
That's possible.
Very
American. Where Howard Hughes ejaculated all over.
Was it filmed in Highland, Chicago? Highland, Illinois?
Yes.
One of the scenes was.
Yeah. I've been up to Evanston. That is a very upscale neighborhood where you would never expect anything that wasn't rewarding financially to happen. I mean, this is
wow, that's some... Yeah.
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 Oh, well, there's some hidden meaning and maybe an explanation or two in there. Okay, Ferris Bueller we were talking about. Yeah.
No, I was trying to get us to share projects, but I guess I'll go.
Do you have any projects? Yeah.
I'll go.
Go.
Go on, Bueller.
I squeezed my lemon, and I made lemonade. I got a 3D printer that wasn't a fire hazard, at least as much of one. Not so much that I would name it fire hazard on a little boot-up screen.
All right.
But yeah, it came to me that just turned itself off.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it would turn itself off as soon as I tried to start something.
What? Is this the new one or the old one?
The new one.
Really?
Yeah. Can you guess what the problem was?
It would turn itself off as soon as you started. User error.
Firmware error. What? Proprietary firmware. So you know what I did? I loaded it up with open source firmware Marlin, and it prints beautifully.
Oh, really?
It's a beautiful piece of hardware.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah. So
I'm happy with it. That was my project.
The best part is someone was paid to write that code that you had to erase with
proprietary
open software.
Code.
Maybe.
He probably took the open source stuff, like recompiled it, and was like, yeah, this works.
An old version of it and never updated it.
There you go.
I could see that. So now it works?
Yeah. Like I said, I delivered some 3D prints to Vinny.
So you've actually been able to make something useful with it.
Well, yeah, it's useful to him.
I'm watching a lot of people get 3D printers and then just make a handful of crap, and they're like, it's just worthless crap. You could have bought it on eBay for 2 cents.
No, I make functional parts.
Oh, right.
Stuff that actually works for me. Cases for PCBs, replacement parts for stuff that I break, or stuff that other people break.
All right, it's a winner.
But, yeah. I hung out with him for an hour as he tested them out, smacking them with a dead blow hammer.
Did he explode it?
No, it's fine. He stood on it, he put his full weight on it, and it came out pretty nice, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was it?
It's a stamp for embossing the head of Bob Dodds onto
leather,
yes.
Nice. All right, so you made him a stamp.
And I noticed that, I observed that if I had left the model as it was, it would have made the anti-bob, because it has to be upside down into the leather. And the anti-bob is not what you want to be carrying around a bunch of subgeni.
There's an actual anti-bob?
What?
Oh, yeah, that's what he is. It's mirrored. Mirrored Bob is anti-bob.
With the cigar or something coming
out
the wrong
with the
way?
Pipe coming from the opposite side of his mouth.
Chirally
foam.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I made sure it would come out as the true Bob.
That's how you know he's from the mirror universe? Does he have a goatee also?
Oh, yes. We're going to form a sub-religion.
I might have to make one now. I might have to make a stamp with anti-Bob with a goatee. It'll be Spock's beard.
If anybody doesn't realize, we're referencing the Church of the Sub-Genius. Join today.
Well, if anti-Bob has Michelle Yeoh working for him, I might consider worshipping. Spoiler word for Discovery.
The next thing on that list is to make it so that it communicates with the stepper drivers over a serial port so they can be reconfigurable on the fly.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, they make stepper drivers that are smart. Smart steppers.
So you don't have to send them like a PCM, you send them commands.
Yeah, you don't actually send them a pulse, just a logic level pulse for them to amplify. You can actually send them commands.
Stepper is its own computer.
Yeah, it's
you're talking about the controller.
So,
or wow. Just built into the motor.
The stepper driver is a little amplifier chip that takes logic level pulses of like 5 volts
and cranks it.
Amplifies it to 24 volts or 12 volts, whatever voltage your motor operates at. And traditionally, they would just get that pulse from the microcontroller that would be like in this instance running Marlin, but now, you know, you they're smart.
Now you can send it.
They're smart, man.
You send it a command instead
of a pulse.
They can
send data back. It's like half duplex. They can send data back, too.
Oh, so what you're saying is there's another point that I can compromise and hack and basically ruin someone's security with.
Awesome. Sure. But it's good luck trying to figure that out. It'll take you a while.
It's over a serial port. That's
point to point?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You're not, like, connecting this... Sorry. You're not connecting it to a big computer where it's a general purpose computer. I'm talking like a serial port on the microcontroller that's running Marlin, and then Marlin just sends data off of its off the microcontroller's built-in serial to the stepper drivers.
Okay.
It's all like integrated into one board.
Gotcha.
Why did they do that? It's just to make it better, more stable. There might be timing issues at that point, right? If you're not sending direct data, there might be some delay or...
I haven't really looked into it that deeply because, you know, I never owned one of these boards before, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it just configures over serial and then takes the step and direction pulses.
Okay. But it's more complicated than the other
speakers. Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated.
Wow. Whoa, what was that?
Me.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oops. I'm sure that was loud. Sorry, people.
Yeah.
Yep, listen to us breathe. We're good.
Yeah.
Well, you know. It's been a long...
So, Elon Musk.
Month. Oh, God. Here, hate fest.
I don't
hate
know. Fest. Like, if we're starting to be quiet, I'll just say that name so I can start complaining.
I feel like you think about him too much. You should work on more projects.
Or focus on Amazon, you know, like using kids' dead grandmas to speak through Alexa.
What?
Nothing can go wrong there, right?
Oh, no, that's awesome. I love, like, first of all, we're going to use that technology to emulate your dad's voice, and then we're going to call the school and tell you, we're going to pick you up after school, bud. Don't worry, I'll be there in the creepy old van tonight. Like,
took that in another way. I was thinking, like, that's what the Ferris Bueller remake would have him doing.
Yes, it would just be like Ferris Bueller would program his own bot to respond to people calling his house. How are you doing today? I am fine. How is school going? Like, it would just be like a weird Turing test. But it'd work.
I mean, like, the Google engineer that got fooled by their own sort of chatbot?
It was so fluid.
He wasn't fooled by it. He believes it's a legitimate artificial intelligence. He called it up on his laptop at home, called over a lawyer, and he had that artificial intelligence talk to the lawyer, and the artificial intelligence asked the lawyer to represent it. So,
whoa.
We now have an AI that will be defending itself in court.
Oh.
There's that other AI.
Ryan just posted an article. I'll let you introduce it.
There is an AI that they asked it to write an academic paper about itself.
That's the General Purpose Training Model 3.
GP3 wrote a academic paper on itself, and they're submitting it to... To get put down in a research database.
Yep,
it's humans a very short paper,
but it wrote it about itself.
It did.
Humans are becoming obsolete.
Well, luck, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We won't be needed anymore.
Aww. Well,
it's a good thing.
What if they have a computer that, like, you actually have an AI that's like funny? Then we're really obsolete because that's what we got left. It's like we're kind of funny. There's an AI that. No sense of humor. There is no
Once
reason for us.
Once a computer masters humor, we're done.
We're done. There's no use for us.
You ever see at South Park, they turned a Dalek into a comedy bot.
No.
I am funny bot.
Was it funny, though?
Awkward. That was his funny line.
That was it? Oh, okay.
No, it was genuinely funny, sort of, except it wound up evolving to the point that it realized awkward was the funniest thing it could do, and the most awkward thing to do would be to murder its audience.
Sounds like a Dalek.
They only let it say exterminate once.
Or a Joker.
Yeah, wait.
Wait, what?
Joker kills his audience?
Well, I was saying that's something I could see the Joker doing. Actually, almost I think he kind of did do that in Dark Knight Returns, or at least he killed Letterman, you know.
Well, yes, yes. I mean, assuming like what you want to define as an audience, but we all know Joker's audience is his boyfriend, Batman. Every time. Every single time. Every single act is a love letter to his boyfriend.
To his boyfriend, Batman.
This is true.
They even literally went there in some of the comics where
What?
The Joker's like really like, am I like... The only person that he could respect or even love was Batman.
Oh.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that was a big part of Harley's, you know, face turn. It's like, yeah, Mr. J will always love him more.
Mm-hmm. And then Joker wound up becoming depicted as an abuser, mm-hmm. which is how they were able to separate Harley from his character. She was abused by him, and she got over it, gained some power, and became even more awesome.
Yeah, and hooked up with a cute plant girl.
Oh, yeah. And she got her own roller derby team. And she started hanging out with a tour. Like, she bought a building and she hosted an entire freak show in it. They all live there. One floor is nothing but rescue animals. And
what?
And to figure out how to deal with all of the feces produced by the rescue animals, they built a giant crapapult on the roof. And they fill it with the crap and they launch it at people they don't like.
Okay. Excellent. That story got better at the end.
Hey, dude, Harley's awesome.
Oh,
they
yeah.
went great with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Some decent books. The cartoon's great. You know, yeah.
That was when I was still reading actual comics, and I would, yeah. I read her comics. Did I say rugby? I meant roller derby.
Yeah.
She had a
roller derby.
I heard that.
My brain's trying to recycle the research. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
That was
way better than the stupid movies. Are you kidding me?
Well, The Last Suicide Squad was at least okay, you know. It was at least, you know, entertaining.
Was it?
Yeah, the one that James Gunn did. Yeah.
I didn't see the second one.
Yeah, hey. No, it's fine. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And the Peacemaker spin-off TV show is great.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised, too, you know.
I've heard that, but since you've said it, I might give it a shot.
I mean, it's very funny, but then as it goes in there, it gets to some really good, dark places. You know, it's like, wow. Most tragic origin ever, but it's still pretty funny.
Jeez.
And yeah, John Cena is actually a decent actor.
Wow,
that's
all
yeah.
amazing. Okay, NASA, Elon, stupid thing.
Elon.
Brian turning on the AC, turning off the AC.
He can't decide whether he wants to be hot temporarily or...
makes a lot of noise.
He wants to be comfortable, but he doesn't want to be dealing with the knobs and the buzzing. And for all you people out there that are enjoying your nice, smooth audio experience, you have his discomfort to thank for.
Yeah, it's so hot.
It's not even that bad in here.
No, it is. It sucks. I'm suffering a little.
You're saying it sucks?
Yeah, every time he turns it on, I'm like, thank you.
I mean, it's humid, but the AC
stuffy,
is too small to really be helping.
Yeah,
It's
okay, as people may have heard me reference, I am very white. I come from northern clime. I do not like the heat.
You came up with Italians. You're not
what?
Italian yourself, that's right.
I thought you're like Italian Puerto Rican.
I'm adopted. I was raised Italian.
But he is not.
So that's why I got a lot of emphasis and I wave my hands at you people. Okay? But other than that, I mean, I make a mean marinara sauce, but I didn't absorb too much more of the culture. I mean, it's quite obvious with the red tint in my beard, I am Nordic, German, Irish. I'm very
Scottish.
Anglo, okay?
He's a rescue Joe.
A rescue Joe. Getting no response to that.
You know what?
Rescue...
I can say this to everyone out there. My parents wanted me. Can you say that?
Oh my god.
Mine did too. Took them two tries.
Well, okay, cool. Good. Just saying, some of you were accidents. I am not.
Is Gonzo a rescue dog?
No.
He's not a rescue dog.
Gonzo was born at my house.
Oh, okay.
What?
Along with his brothers.
Oh.
And he outlived the entire pack.
I don't know why I thought he was a rescue.
Nope.
Because he was
suspect. No.
No, he was a spaz.
I was just not clear on his origins. Oh. That's all.
No, his mother was a rotten dog. She was very mean and attacked every living creature around her all the time, except for the 5 minutes she decided to mate with a dachshund. Made a batch. And then made the batch of dogs, hated them, and...
But I guess she was a big fan of the Disney film, The Ugly Dachshund. Was it Ugly Dashing? Anyway.
Well, anyway, he came out of her, and he was a good dog, and the rest of them were crazy and mean. Mm. So the good dog out-survived all the other dogs.
Gonzo was a good dog.
Yes. Well, now I'm out of subjects.
I know.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Does that happen?
Terrible.
I mean, it doesn't have to happen.
Well, now I'm like, you stopped me dead. You killed, like, you took the wind out of my sail.
Well, do we have enough time to talk about ethanol?
Ethanol?
And bio-compatible fuels.
For
cars.
Combustion?
And, yeah, combustion.
They're stupid.
Next.
Well, I don't know. I kind of wanted to get into it with Tom, because he described a system of fermentation to me.
Ethanol is a good furnace fuel.
Mm.
When you buy diesel fuel and put it in a tank, you're running the risk that poisonous material will leak out of the tank. So they have to pull tanks in, and it's a tankless task, so to speak.
God.
But if it's ethanol, if it leaks, it just dissolves in water, so it's safe. And it's not as concentrated as the hydrocarbons are, but who cares? You're not driving around in it. You're not concerned about its mass because it's just in a tank, a static tank.
Well, I'm concerned about it because I've watched the ethanol being added to my gas reduce my gas mileage.
Well, I'm not saying it should be used in cars. I'm saying ethanol is a great furnace fuel.
Oh,
furnace fuel. You know, it's something that is safe in the environment, and hydrocarbons are not. And we can also get access to it, and it comes with anything that's fermented. So a lot of things ferment, and you think, well, that's no good. But then you find out that it has some advantages. You have your wines, you guys are doing something with fermented liquids over there, I see.
Kombucha.
Fermenting is a cow's like fermented corn, it's not bad. But it basically is a fuel. If you were going to just burn it, like your Bunsen burner was an alcohol. Or not Bunsen burner, but there is an alcohol burner for, your...
Right. We use them in lab.
Yeah,
alcohol burners, little glass jars with
little
the
glass
wet.
Jars with alcohol in them, So that's what I had to say about it. I wasn't representing it as a replacement for moving vehicles, airplanes, cars, trains, that sort of thing. For that, I was earlier talking about hydrogen.
But as a good home and business fuel,
A long time ago, you were describing to me how someone you knew was trying out, or you were trying to convince them to try out using grass as a fermentation starter. Am I wrong?
You weren't wrong. And my father was asked to describe an economy based on solar. Mm. And he came back and he said it would work except that the rare earths that are used to dope the silicon would run out. Yep. He did a calculation and he said there's not enough of the materials that are used in the silicon to populate the planet with enough solar. Mm. So then he had this inspiration that since he'd been mowing grass, he said, why don't we just try to ferment that? And I built a solar still, and that got the alcohol out of the grass as it rotted. And so he petitioned the government and he said, let's start an industry. And they said, well, that's fine with us as long as you pay the imbibing tax that comes with it. Because it's the same stuff that's going into bottles that people are sucking down to get stoned.
Grass wine.
Well,
no,
alcohol,
it would all
know,
be
vodka. If it's made out of potatoes, you know,
yeah.
It's
moonshine.
Yeah. So, he, you know, that was right near his passing, but
I know it's not like a super great feedstock. Like, there's better choices. Like,
there are better choices. You
can, around
right,
here, you can grow. I was talking with Christian yesterday about the same sort of line of thinking. You could grow like Jerusalem artichokes or beets, and you get a lot more ethanol out of them than
oh,
even
yeah.
corn.
Different,
even corn
different
gives you
crops
less,
have significantly different yields. Tom's talking about trying to start processing the harder
yeah.
stuff with lots of cellulose. It's hard to break down.
And people do try it. They have tried to use like dead grasses that are, you know, they've sat for a while. But that's a lot more energy intense because it doesn't have the life. It, all you're left with is like the cellulose.
Yeah. Ethanol is good for
you're
drinking.
You're absolutely right. I just the underlying economic thing is that if you rely on hydrocarbons, then you're relying on the whole cycle that is messing up economies, and it's messing up the climate. And this is an interesting solution
here.
With regard to the issues when you burn fuel to keep warm. That's what I was thinking. You know, it's you could take alcohol and run it right through any diesel fuel like furnace, you know, home heating fuel.
Yeah.
You could run through the same furnace. You just change the nozzle and use twice as much. But it does
yeah.
exactly the same thing. It heats water.
Yeah.
And
Christian was saying to me that a lot of modern cars can actually just you make some adjustments to the ECM.
Yeah.
Or let the ECM make its own adjustments.
Yeah.
As far as the engine knock goes. And you can just run
alcohol,
mostly
yeah.
ethanol fuel.
Yeah,
no, that is not
as
true.
As long as the rubber tubes
don't try it.
Don't.
I know. You got to change out some things like
the
gaskets
engine will
and the
rot
fittings.
From the inside out. Ethanol does not belong anywhere near an internal combustion
engine. Well, hang on.
Right
no, that's not true.
It'll work.
You need to do is you need to change the gasket material. Right.
Yeah. Of the entire car. So you basically need to make a new car for it.
Well, a lot of the newer cars will take ethanol
up to
20%,
80%,
but only if they're rated for flex fuel.
Yeah,
well,
you might need more hard lines and whatnot because
the federal requirement is only 15%.
Yeah,
how many cars nowadays are flex fuel?
I don't see the sticker that much.
I was about to say it was really popular like 2008, and then it sort of disappeared.
Yeah
there were a lot of
ethanol works
tax
in
rebates
a car,
to.
But none
them.
Of our cars.
Well, we might want them before long because look at the price of gasoline.
No,
look at how hard it is.
Well, electric first.
We'll
never need it.
Brazil has been running off of ethanol for a while because they have a ton of sugar cane.
And they are entirely ethanol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For at least part of the year.
It does work.
Like they're part of the reason why flex fuel even exists.
Yeah.
They said, we want to move, the president at the time said, we want to move to ethanol, an ethanol-based fuel economy.
At that time, there were already federal regulations requiring cars to be able to process 10%.
Not here.
Here.
I'm talking about in Brazil.
Brazil is total ethanol.
I'm talking about Brazil.
Okay.
And they said, car manufacturers,
give us something that will run ethanol.
Engines that...
Yeah,
run ethanol.
It's not that hard. I mean, drag racing has classes that run ethanol.
There you go.
I think, and it's been like that for decades.
Well, when someone
you have to
buys
purposely
me a car
with
all the nifty stuff that's able to process the ethanol, I'll be happy to try it out. But like you, just like we got to do it. Like that's not happening.
Hey, I got one.
I'm saying it might happen. We might want to do it pretty soon.
Well,
it's a local economy thing that we could. Could do.
Well, these thoughts and more can all be pondered by our listeners as we fade off into the night because the Thingularity Radio program is making its sign off soon. 7:59. Yeah, we're at